Thank you and good morning. Welcome to Bible Talk. You have heard the expression, familiarity breeds contempt. For example, if you bring a person into the presence of the President of the United States, he will probably be uncomfortable. He will be very conscious of his appearance and speech. Speaking to him will be somewhat difficult because he wants to make sure that what he says is appropriate. But let that person be in the presence of the President every day for a whole year. His feelings will change and the atmosphere will become more casual. As a matter of fact, he could forget in whose presence he is and could end up saying some things that are disrespectful to the President. Now, do you think it is possible that we could forget who Jesus is and fail to give him the awe and respect that he demands and that he deserves? I think we have an example of this in Peter. And this is recorded in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 23. It all began when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" in verse 13. Now notice what came to the minds of the people when they observed Jesus. They said that some say he is John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. In the minds of men, this would be a marvelous compliment. From a human viewpoint, that would make Jesus an exceedingly great person. While their thoughts of Jesus may have been a compliment from a human viewpoint, they fell far short of who Jesus really is. The text then says that Jesus asked his disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter spoke up and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's in verse 16. Peter says, "You are the Christ." Now, this is confessing that Jesus is the Messiah who was to come. The Jews, you see, had been looking for the Messiah. The word Messiah is the Hebrew term, and Christ is the Greek term, which means the Anointed One. The Jews had been looking for the Anointed One, the Anointed King, who would sit upon the throne of David. He was called the Son of David. This phrase meant the Messiah. The promise had been made to David that one would come of his flesh to sit on his throne. Peter here is confessing that Jesus is this Messiah, the Christ. But Jesus is more than this. Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This means that not only is he the Christ, but he is deity. You can call him God. Now, not God the Father, but he is God the Son. It is wonderful that Peter understood this. This is a link that most Jews had not made of the Messiah. They knew that he would be a king, the son of David, to sit on David's throne, but they had not understood that he would be the Son of God, that is, deity. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 41 through 45, we read of Jesus asking the Pharisees, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said, "He is the son of David." Jesus then said to them, "How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son?" Now, Jesus here is not denying that the Christ is of the seed of David, but what Jesus is emphasizing is what they did not believe, and that is, the Christ is deity. You see, in Psalm 110, verse 1, David said, "The Lord said to my Lord." And so you see, David calls him Lord. And so this proves that the Christ is deity. He is God. Well, Peter understood who Jesus was, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, Jesus responded to Peter's confession by saying in verse 17, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." How did Peter learn who Jesus is? Well, it was from the Father, not from man. Well, how did Peter learn this from the Father? On two occasions, the Father audibly said that Jesus was his Son. "This is my beloved Son." That was at his baptism, Matthew 3, verse 17, and at the Mount of Transfiguration, recorded in Matthew 17, verse 5. But Peter most likely was not at Jesus' baptism, and the Transfiguration had not occurred as yet. And so we ask again, how did Peter receive it from the Father? Well, Peter, you see, had seen the miracles of Jesus. Jesus said in John 5 and verse 36, "But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." And also later, when Peter was preaching to the Jews, he said, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know." Acts 2 and verse 22. Peter was willing to accept the evidence that God gave that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, Peter was attuned to God. His heart was open to God. Peter knew what other Jews didn't see because he was willing to listen to the Father. You know, we have the same evidence today in the testimony of those who saw the miracles. John the Apostle wrote in John 20, verses 30 and 31, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." When we look at the evidence of who Jesus is, that is, the testimony of his miracles, the testimony of his resurrection, the fulfilled prophecies, we come to believe. But do not be mistaken, we do not receive this from men, but we have received it from God. This is evidence from God. Well, Peter knew who Jesus was. But momentarily, Peter seems to forget. Now let's look back at Matthew chapter 16. Look at verses 21 to 23. "From that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you.'" Now notice, Peter rebuked Jesus. We would say Peter is getting on to Jesus. Well, do you rebuke the Christ? Do you rebuke the Son of God? Do you get on to or correct the Messiah, the Son of God? Surely, Peter has momentarily forgotten who Jesus is. You don't rebuke the Son of God. What can you tell God that he does not already know? How can you correct one who is perfect? You know, the prophet Isaiah wrote concerning God, "Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding?" Isaiah 40, verses 13 to 14. It is improper to rebuke the Lord. Peter's response should have been, "I want to know what you mean, Lord," rather than rebuking the Lord. Verse 23 says, "But he," that is Jesus, "turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan, you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.'" You see, when Peter was attuned to God rather than men, he made this wonderful confession of Jesus. But when he became attuned to man rather than to God, he rebukes him. You know, it is possible that we sometimes forget who Jesus is. We say that we believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, that Mary was with child of the Holy Spirit, and that this child who was born is called the Son of God. But do we take his name in vain? Do we say, "Jesus Christ, O my Lord, Lord have mercy," as expletives? You see, when we take his name and use it in frivolous ways, we are forgetting who Jesus is. Jesus is deserving of our honor and respect. Therefore, we must use his name with honor and respect. He is Lord. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, Peter concluded his sermon to the Jews on the day of Pentecost, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." He is Lord, meaning he is ruler. Consequently, anything he says is right, and we must accept it. Someone says, "Well, I believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, but I just can't believe in that Genesis account of creation, or I just can't believe that story of Noah and the flood." Well, Jesus believed in the Genesis account of creation. In Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 6, Jesus is asked the question, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? In Jesus' response, he goes to Genesis chapters 1 and 2 and quotes from those two chapters concerning what happened at the beginning. He said, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Jesus here is putting his stamp of approval on the Genesis account of creation. To say you believe Jesus is Lord, and then say you don't believe in the Genesis account of creation, that which Jesus believed, is to forget who Jesus is. Jesus also believed in the story of Noah and the flood. Look with me in Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 to 39. Jesus said, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came, and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus believed that Noah entered the ark and that the flood came. To say you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and then say you don't believe in the story of Noah and the flood is to forget who Jesus is. How can you believe in Jesus but then not believe what Jesus believed? You know, some people balk at what Jesus taught. They say they believe in Jesus, but they reject what he taught about marriage, divorce, and remarriage in Matthew 19, verses 3 through 9. Some refuse to accept what he said about loving our enemies and doing good to them, Matthew 5, verse 44. They think these beliefs and teachings are so radical that we can't accept them. Well, to say you believe Jesus is Lord and then reject his teachings is to forget who Jesus is. Also, Jesus is our judge. He will judge us in the last day. In Acts 17, verse 31, Paul says that God will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. The one whom God raised from the dead will judge us. That's Jesus. Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48 that the word that he had spoken will judge us in the last day. Well, do you believe that Jesus is our judge and that his word is the standard by which he will judge us? Well, to say that you believe and then reject his teachings is to forget who Jesus is. Well, Peter was attuned to man and not to God when he took Jesus aside and rebuked him. He forgot who Jesus was. When we take Jesus' name in vain, when we place our own thinking ahead of the clear teachings of Jesus Christ, then we are attuned to man rather than to God. We are forgetting who Jesus is. My dear listener, don't forget who Jesus is. If you would like a free audio CD copy of today's program or of any of our Bible Talk broadcasts, then just give us your name and address and the title of the program that you would like a copy of, and we would be glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge. There are three ways that you may send in your request. You may email it in. Our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. That's FIDNET.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. Our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.